The best thing we can do as sellers is match the urgency of the person who is reaching out to us. And so when we match that urgency by giving them opportunities to convert more quickly, talk to us more quickly, get that next step, that is something that the prospect is going to reward. So if you reach out immediately, or if you give them that Calendly and they can book something for later that day or the next day, you are going to be so far ahead of any competitors that you have in that process.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is going to be a fun episode. Thank you for joining today. I'm joined by Val Riley, VP of Marketing for Insightly CRM, which was recently acquired by Unbounce, which was a landing page builder. There's also LeadsRx. So Val sees it all from kind of conversion to connection, which is how we're going to be spending a lot of our time together today. I think it's a really interesting topic from not only internal, how you connect teams internally, but also how you connect with your prospects, your customers. We're going to be going through all of that, as well as there's a really interesting report right now on our platform called Right Sizing Your CRM that we're helping with promotion and distribution around. Really fascinating report. I think it's a really fascinating time for CRM in this AI era. We'll probably hit on that a little bit today too. But Val, why don't I stop rambling? And in your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role.
Yeah, absolutely. So was with Insightly CRM for quite some time, and then Unbounce, the landing page builder that everybody knows and loves, acquired Insightly in July of 2024. It was a super interesting acquisition, actually, for a couple of reasons. As a marketer, Insightly is very much a challenger brand, and Unbounce is very much a category leader. And so as a marketer, you approach those two situations much differently. So it's a lot of context switching for our team, but it really was an interesting acquisition. And from a perspective of your funnel, because, you know, Unbounce was capturing that conversion perfectly. And now when you put CRM around it, now you see everything that happened after that conversion all the way through to a closed one deal. So it really has provided a holistic view of the funnel, which is super exciting. So every day is a little bit different when you work for Unbounce and all the brands that we have.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting but interesting challenge. I have to imagine the day-to-day, there's not a lot of repetition, a lot of different, like you mentioned, context switching between products, brands, audiences, et cetera.
Absolutely. You know, we compete very heavily in the marketing space. We compete very heavily in the sales space. And so it's something new every day, but keeps our team super challenged. We are a fully remote team. We're distributed over 4 time zones. So we chase the sun every day and try to get the most out of our marketing dollars.
Very cool. Well, we will dig into all of that, but this is the Content Cocktail Hour, Val. So I have to ask you, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
All right. So it is summer where I am, and my family is originally from Italy. I'm a second generation American. So I have a fondness for limoncello, and I discovered the limoncello spritz not too long ago, and it is a delightful summer drink. So you want some limoncello, you want some club soda, a little bit of Prosecco, and then you want to throw in either mint or basil leaves, depending on how you're feeling. And I guarantee you're going to have a delightful summer drink.
Okay, I love this. I also have some Italian heritage in my family. Gandolfo was our name. So I haven't had a limoncello spritz, though, and we're actually growing some basil in our backyard, and we're learning that the basil plant produces more basil than any human can consume quickly or quick enough. So that's a good recipe for us to put to test in our household, so I'm going to have to do that.
Enjoy.
Love it. All right, well, let's dig in. We mentioned at the top here, marketers have always been focused on conversion. I always reference kind of in our world in the inbound marketing space, this inbound motion of get the form, get the download, get the conversion. And I think like that playbook works really well almost until everybody is running it, right? And then it becomes a very, the incentive for the audience and the brand creating the contact kind of become in conflict, right? Somebody realizes they have to give up their contact information for downloading a piece of content. And that becomes a something that they're going to work around because they know what the brand is going to do that right away. And brands were so focused on that conversion. Now, as you mentioned, kind of with this product suite, you have the ability to create connection from the beginning of the experience to the end of the experience. So I want to look at that both from the audience perspective and then from the internal team perspective. But let's start with the audience. What does creating connection look like for your prospects and your customers versus maybe the traditional conversion?
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing. You can have the best landing page in the world and it's converting and that's great, right? But if you've got to do something with that form fill, the statistics show that between 25 and 50% of companies just don't follow up with their form fills, which I think crushes the soul of the marketing team. So just thinking about like what you're leaving on the table, this could be where your funnel's actually leaking. So there's three ways I like to try to think about this. How quickly we follow up, how easy we make it for the customer during that follow up, and then how good that user experience is from that point. So for instance, you know, they fill out the form. Your baseline, your absolute baseline has to be a thank you page that is clear, that they are telling you that you understand what has happened. We have received your information. I know that sounds elementary, but I can't tell you how many landing page experiences don't meet that very, very low benchmark. So you want to let the customer know, we have received your information. And then you want to let them know, here's what's going to happen next, right? Either someone's going to reach out to you with a quote in 24 hours, or we're going to have a salesperson reach out within 48 hours, or, you know, whatever. Let them know exactly what is happening next. Again, you think that's elementary? So many landing page thank you pages don't do this. And then even better, if you can put the power in the hands of that prospect and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. But if that's not good enough for you, here's what you can do. I'm going to serve you a Calendly so you can make an appointment right away that works for you. So those additional steps really lead towards creating that connection that we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that experience. I'm thinking of two examples. One, like when you're just trying to download a resource, maybe you're going through a form and it's like, you click download and they're like, all right, check your inbox for an email from us with the file. And then you have to wait like 5 minutes. The email comes. Then there's another button in the email for you to click on that takes you back into the web experience. And then there's a button in there for you to like, and it's like this 8-step process just to get this report that maybe you're looking for a single data point or a single clip or something from. And then I think we've also all probably unfortunately had the experience for the demo request or the talk to sales request where it's like, hey, this is like, it's urgent enough that I'm ready to talk to sales, but then you have to wait, like you said, like 72 hours, 4 or 5 days to actually do that. It's like, man, that's such a like disappointing or disheartening experience when you're in that mode of trying to solve something right now, and a huge missed opportunity for the brand or the sales team that's involved there as well. You're right, it's elementary, but I think we sometimes get so distracted, we, myself included, as marketers, as brands, and kind of the new exciting tools that we forget, like sometimes just being better at the basics is all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you just described was that user experience, right? The best thing we can do as sellers is match the urgency of the person who is reaching out to us. And so when we match that urgency by giving them opportunities to convert more quickly, talk to us more quickly, get that next step, that is something that the prospect is going to reward, right? And typically they're shopping multiple vendors, right? Mm-hmm. So if you reach out immediately, or if you give them that Calendly and they can book something for later that day or the next day, you are going to be so far ahead of any competitors that you have in that process. You're matching that urgency and the prospect appreciates that and will reward you.
You mentioned 25 to 50% of those requests go like unserved, which, like, I'm sitting here, it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit as a former marketing leader. So a lot of this moving from conversion to connection also, I have to imagine, requires internal alignment, and there has to be multiple teams involved. So like kind of behind the scenes, what does organizationally shifting from this conversion, maybe this raw like demand gen or lead gen effort to moving to a more like holistic connection approach, what does that look like internally for the Unbounce, Insightly, and LeadRx team?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really about alignment of sales and marketing teams, right? And this is where, you know, your CRM is going to come into place. So for instance, in my perfect world, you've got this great Unbounce landing page, you've got this great thank you page experience, and then that lead is going right into the CRM. We hope it's in Sightly CRM, but any CRM. And then you've got routing in place to where your sales team is alerted immediately, that lead is prioritized, and that lead is followed up with. And then all of a sudden, you're able to see the full funnel, right? You're seeing, did that lead get followed up on? Was there a demo, if that's your process? Was there a demo or a consultation scheduled? Did the person sit that consultation? Was there an opportunity opened? Did the opportunity close? What was the sales cycle? So when you have these tools together and you have the sales and marketing alignment, and we're reporting not just on the conversion and not just on the demo, but we're reporting on that whole customer journey, that's when we start to see, where's the funnel actually leaking? You know, maybe it's the lead quality, but maybe it's the follow-up. Maybe it's the time between the demo request and the demo schedule that we're dropping people. Or maybe we're not opening the opportunity fast enough. Whatever it is, it really becomes apparent when you have sales and marketing alignment. You're using the right tools. You're using a CRM that's right-sized for your organization, so people are actually putting the data into it and following up on it. It's where the magic happens, when you have the right tools aligned with the right teams.
You mentioned some magic words there, the right-sized CRM. As I mentioned, you all just published a really fascinating report on this. So we'll link to that in the show notes. But I just want to hit on this for a moment, because I used to work in the CRM space at a different provider that I won't mention on this podcast episode. But I think we're all probably pretty familiar with it. But I do think, like, I always say that the beautiful thing about that software is that it can do anything you want it to do. The challenging thing with that software is it can do anything you want it to. And I think so many businesses fall into having the wrong size CRM, either too small or too large. So maybe just give us like a snippet or a preview from that report. And like, how does a business know if they don't, like, what are the signals that their CRM isn't the right size for their business?
Yeah, actually, it comes down to total cost of ownership. And that's something that providers often during the sales cycle neglect to mention. It's very easy to overbuy on CRM. And, you know, obviously the grandfather of them all is Salesforce, and it's huge. And listen, they can afford to put their logo on Caitlin Clark's jersey. Like, my Insightly budget doesn't allow for that. but what has happened is Salesforce has dominated the enterprise, and you could argue along with Dynamics, and they've started reaching down into the mid-market. But the problem is their solution is not designed for the mid-market. If you have a 75-person company, you don't need a full-time person manning your CRM, but that's really what Salesforce dictates. And so there's this whole space of mid-market CRMs that just don't have the visibility that Salesforce does, but can really service a company with between 50 and 250 employees, even 50 to 500 employees, serve them very well, with a solution that has a much lower total cost of ownership than Salesforce does. And the problem is they just kind of get blurred out of the market because there's so much noise being created by these very, very large players. But a right-sized CRM is not going to require a full-time or even, I mean, some of these companies have two full-time Salesforce admins and they're like a 100-person company. That total cost of ownership can really get out of bounds very, very quickly. So I would encourage people to look beyond the flash and the excitement. I mean, they had a Super Bowl commercial this year with Matthew McConaughey. Like, I get it. It's exciting. But there are a ton of mid-market CRMs that can really service companies a lot better than those giants can.
The Super Bowl commercial is a great example. Like, people who aren't in the software space or maybe even in the B2B space, like, seeing the Matthew McConaughey commercial and being like, do you know what Salesforce does? And they're just like, not a clue, right? Produces commercials apparently extremely well. I've had a similar experience. The last company I was at prior to starting The Juice and Audience Plus, we were a 100-person company. We had a full-time Salesforce admin. And like, to me, it was always not only the actual cost of Salesforce, which was crazy, but also the opportunity cost that came with it. You had really smart people spending a lot of time doing things that weren't the best use of their time to get things in the right order. So I think that's also a really great signal. I'd encourage everybody to check out this report that you all published. There's a ton of awesome data in the report, which your team always does such a nice job with. and continue down this path. I think we're 15 minutes into a conversation, a marketing conversation here in 2025, and we haven't mentioned AI yet. That might be a record, but I think that AI and CRM space is really interesting. I shared this with you a little bit pre-recording, but you know, CRMs were literally built to organize data so that humans could get into that data and do things with it. In this age of AI, CRMs now, your data in general doesn't need to be structured or organized, nor do humans necessarily always have to go in and find the insights from it. I'm going to now connect that to something you said earlier, that is Insightly is a bit of a challenger brand in the space, which I love. So from your VP of marketing seat, is this kind of an opportunity for a challenger brand to move faster, be more nimble, and be more accelerated with how you're able to act with AI?
Absolutely. What's really challenging about AI right now is the cost of AI, right? The COGS behind it. And I think a lot of big players are struggling with that. As a challenger brand, we weren't on the cusp of AI. We let the HubSpots and the Salesforce and all of their research data do all that work for us. And then we came in and said, okay, based on what we're seeing in the market, what does a mid-market CRM need to have in terms of AI? So we've developed a co-pilot that really helps reduce the manual strain on your sales reps. You know, there's that terrible statistic, like 70 to 80% of a salesperson's time is spent on manual tasks, non-selling tasks. We've got to reduce that. And AI is the secret to doing that. So our co-pilot is a really powerful tool, but again, it's in a mid-market CRM. I think there's this thought that, oh, I need to go higher up in order to get AI in my CRM. Not the case. In addition, other small AI features that are in the platform, like an AI email tool that's going to summarize your emails or respond, give you suggestions to respond to your email, all available in Insightly, a mid-market CRM. So you don't have to go totally up market just to get access to AI. I think that's a myth as well.
I love kind of the self-awareness of like, we weren't the ones on the cusp of all things brand new, net new. It reminds me of an analogy shared from one of our other partners. They're in the SEO space, obviously being rocked by all things AI. And he's like, I don't want to be the one like banging my head against the wall and like breaking through the wall, because I'm going to be bloodied once I get through the wall, right? But I want to be right behind that person and be ready to step over the wall once we all do sort of make sense of this. Sounds like you guys did a little bit of the same, listening to, seeing what had been done, listening to your customers, listening to the market, and kind of that mid-market space, and being really focused on use cases specifically for those individuals and those businesses.
Yeah, that was exactly the process. Let's learn from the mistakes. Let's learn from the people that have the huge
R&D.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's learn from, see what's on my mind.
Too many analogies or too many acronyms thrown around.
Right. If you've got the R&D budget, you guys go out there and do it. And actually, right now, if you look at Salesforce's earnings, they are clearly selling a lot of their AI agent, but their profitability is eroding a tiny bit. So I'm wondering if there's a challenge, you know, that all platforms are struggling right now with, and that is, how do you price access to the AI tools? Because it's not inexpensive. And so I wonder, you know, being an early entry into the market with an AI tool, sometimes you have some very expensive learnings. So yeah, you're right. We're right behind them and we're learning, but we're not, you know, burning through our budgets to do those learnings. So sometimes it can be a nice place to be, that challenger spot.
Yeah, there's so many like trickle down effects. I think the pricing models are really fascinating. I could spend a lot of time kind of talking about and debating some of that. And I think there are a lot of times when it's like second mover advantage, right? Like, especially in this space when there's so much unknown, it all changes so fast.
Yes.
It's really, really crazy. This is all really fascinating. We need to have a follow-up episode probably on that topic specifically. But, you know, Val, we always ask all of our guests, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Okay, so this is...
I can tell you're bracing yourself for this, which means it's going to be a good one.
Well, it could sound self-serving, but I've worked in organizations where all of marketing did not have access to the CRM. And you are basically having a lot of your marketing team blind to what's happening all the way through the funnel. And it's a travesty, really. And so I believe that all the marketing team needs to have CRM access. And, you know, there are read-only licenses that are available. And so I think that that's a great compromise. You know, 10 years ago, read-only really wasn't a thing, even 5 years ago. So it's becoming more and more popular. But thinking that your whole marketing team, you know, can just have the access to marketing automation and they don't really need to see anything else, I think that's a myth. You're selling them short and you're not giving them visibility that they need. So spring for the extra licenses. That's my message.
Early in my career, I was on a marketing team where I was the marketing data analyst on the team. I was connecting data between CRM and the campaigns we were running. And, you know, we had mobile, social, email campaigns running. I was kind of the cog from a data perspective between some of those. The manager of that team did not even have a Salesforce login. We were using Salesforce. And that always, she would use somebody else's login to log in and to see things. And I was like, that seems not right. And so I was fortunate though to have that experience early in my career because I've gone out of my way to make sure that like on any solution where it's like that critical to what we're doing that like I don't become the person that's like, how do I use this? What does it mean? Somebody share a login. And I think the other lesson there that I think is really important, at least from my perspective, is if you're a marketer early in your career or just at any point in your career on a marketing team and you don't have CRM access, I think the closer you are to revenue and the closer you are to sales, the faster your career will be accelerated or the more protected it is. I think that's really great advice to maybe a nudge to start asking questions or at least exposing yourself. Talk to your sales team to understand at least what's happening in the CRM. If you're any type of marketer and you don't have that CRM access, I'd be looking around to see how you get access or at least what you're doing, how it's impacting what's inside the CRM.
So my unpopular opinion seems like it was popular with you. So I'm feeling very validated. Thank you.
Yes, a very popular opinion with me, something I would mandate if I were in marketing. So I love that perspective, Val. If people want to learn more from you or learn more about Unbounce, Insightly, or LeadsRx, what's the best way to do that?
We hang out on LinkedIn all the time, so connect with me there. And we also do a podcast for go-to-market leaders because we cover all of go-to-market with the Insightly platform and the Unbounce platform. So that's called Closing Time. If you ever worked in the service industry, the Closing Time might ring a bell for you. It's the song that they played when they were shutting down the bars. So easy to remember. And so hope to see you there too.
Yes. If you've ever worked in services or been at a karaoke bar, you should be familiar with that one. So Val, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, all of our subscribers, thanks for joining another episode. Until next time, same place. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.